I have a few tricks.
How many restaurants you think Dubai has? Agencies are paid for, yeah. One, to review restaurants and get dozens or hundreds of reviews.
You can say whatever you want as long as you're not harming the business. Tens of thousands.
Welcome to a new episode of Food Unscripted. Today is not going to be about food, but about taking pictures of food, reviewing food. You go to a restaurant and then what's next? Should you talk about it? Should you put it online? Are you allowed to say anything you want? Food influencers, who says they are influencers anyway? And so on and so forth of a very important, yet needs to be politically correct
it's
discussion.
It's a controversial subject. It's a controversial subject. I have a question for you. How can so many restaurants have a near perfect Google review score of 4.9? It doesn't make sense. Even the best restaurant in the world, Noma, one of the best restaurants in the world, doesn't have a near perfect score. My opinion is these scores are being manipulated. There are companies, and this is not an opinion, this is a fact. There are companies you can hire that will get you people to give you 5-star reviews. There are little tricks that you can have as a restaurant where if somebody eats, you ask them to immediately make a review. You can make a QR code, scan it, it'll take you right to the Google page. Please review, please give me a nice. You can give out free meals to people and ask them to give you a 5-star review. My point is, one needs to learn how to navigate the Google review world.
On TripAdvisor, a couple of years back, there was a test done by a couple of people, a bunch of friends, who created a restaurant that doesn't exist, reviewed it 5-star for a couple of months, and then at the end, even reserved for people table and then canceled them the last minute and continued doing it again and again until they sent it to TripAdvisor and said, if we manage to do it, so imagine how much fakeness there is in this world. So imagine how many people have had 5-star reviews, etc. And their restaurant, which was not a restaurant.
It didn't even exist.
Didn't even exist. Got a very high grade on TripAdvisor and so on and so forth. So back to reviews. Yes. Are reviews fake or not? Should you trust reviews or not? Are people going out to restaurants, putting reviews at the right restaurant? I have my company on Google Maps. I have received sometimes reviews of people who I never met.
Yes.
And our other company, we have reviews from people that, okay, I don't know you, man.
Yeah.
You didn't even buy. You're not on my list. I didn't have any customer today when you say I went today and it was bad.
Yeah.
Putting a 1/5 or talking about things that are not available.
Yeah.
So at the end, why? So the why of things is very important, starting with Google and the reviews. And the other things is when you put a 1/5, you're harming a business.
Yes, you
and
are.
And when you put a 5/5, you're lying to people about the business.
Yes.
So where should it stop?
I have a few tricks on how to navigate specifically Google. First thing is, let's talk about the actual reviewing part. You and me both spend time putting our reviews on Google. And I do that. And it's helped a lot of people. Don't go to an expensive restaurant and complain that it's expensive and give them a 1/5. You can look up the menu online before going and you can say, can I afford this place? Can I not afford this place? Giving a 1/5 review because it was too expensive for me is not correct. That's first. So the reviewer has a responsibility also. Do it for the right reason. Don't go day one, restaurant open, and say, the food took too long to come out of the kitchen. Take into consideration that it's a new restaurant. So the people putting the reviews need to be a little bit more considerate of the situation and all of that. Another trick I do, I will follow or look at the reviews of people who have that little orange star next to their name. I don't know what it's called, but Google.
Contributors.
Contributors. Someone who's contributed a lot. I will not believe or take into consideration someone who has only one review. So when I look at a restaurant that has a near 4.9%, I'll click and I'll see all the reviews. If most of the 5-star reviews are being done by people who have only reviewed one restaurant or two, then I know there's something off.
Exactly. So explaining what happens on Google Maps. Google Maps allows everyone to add a review. You need only to have a Google account. Along the way, you play a game of the contributors, and becoming a contributor that starts at level 1 ends up at level 10. And the more you review, the more you add, you get the grades to go all the way up from 1 point up to 100,000 points. So whenever you see reviews of a restaurant and you see a 4.9, or if you want really to go to that restaurant and pay money for it or travel for it, check out the reviewers on the below, and you can click on a reviewer, and even without clicking on it, you will read under the reviewer, reviewer with 100 reviews,
yes,
200 reviews, exactly. 50 reviews, etc. Exactly. And he has an orange dot, and that orange star starts from 4 to 6 to 8 to 10, and the reviewer number 10 cannot fake it, because a reviewer number 10 would need 100,000 points, and that takes an age of a lifetime.
He's reviewing it for the right reason.
And at least he has done a couple hundred restaurants in his life.
Yes.
And he had the experience and maturity, probably, to reach a point where he wouldn't have put 1/5 for all. Considering that you can claim, you can, how would I say, click on the reviewer if you are a business owner and say, this was wrong. So Google would know.
You could challenge the reviews.
So you can flag a review.
Yes.
So a person with 1, 2, 3, 4 flags would be kicked out of Google for a way or another.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes people will gang up on a restaurant or on a business, and they'll all give it a group of people, and it'll really harm a restaurant. So the restaurant does have some recourse with Google.
Tell me about the American law. So your friend sent you something this morning.
So the American government has decided that they're going to punish fake reviews. So it's breaking news. It's happening now. The FTC, I guess, is doing it. Here in Dubai, where we live, before I want to get into the law of that, sometimes a brand new restaurant you look up their Google listing, pre-opening, already it has 4.9 on it. How can that be?
Agencies.
So use some common sense as a person looking at the reviews. It's impossible. It's brand new, the restaurant. How could it already have 5 stars or 4.9?
So two things are happening in Dubai. Allow me to say it as is. Agencies are paid for, one, to review restaurants and get dozens or hundreds of reviews. And two, sometimes you go to a restaurant and you see it fully loaded with models and beautiful girls and good-looking guys.
Yeah.
And these are agencies as well.
Yes.
And it's a way of PRing.
Yes.
To start well and say, wow.
One is for the Instagram and one is for the Google review.
Yeah.
So be smart with your Googling. Let's talk about the law. Recently, we hear more and more about the laws of criticism or how you talk about other businesses. And a friend of mine who was a lawyer is also a food reviewer, the food advocate, Dr. Habib Al-Mulla. And I discuss this with him all the time. And his short version or simplified answer to me always is, you can say whatever you want as long as you're not harming the business. It's not a black and white law here. You can say this, but you can't say that. It's more of a, am I harming iqta rizq? Am I harming the people who work there? Am I lying or am I saying the truth? If you're saying they're serving rotten food,
you need to prove it.
Yeah. Then the restaurant can go to the police and you can be arrested, fined, and sometimes jailed.
So I'll give you my personal opinion since 2012 when I started my food blog. And it started as a food blog and it was new to the country in Lebanon. So some enjoyed it, many enjoyed it, and some restaurants didn't accept it and didn't understand it. And I was followed by, a lawyer called me once and twice and three times, several times, you need to remove the review. Mm-hmm. And my answer was no, because I have the proof for it. So my strategy was always taking pictures of every single detail that happens, of which at the end, the final bill. So one, to prove that I was never invited. Two, to prove that I've done it all. Three, whenever I talked about a recipe or a dish or whatever it is, I had pictures supporting the whole detail of the things that happening. Yep. So accordingly, those lawyers who called, which at the end stopped calling because they knew that it was right, and whatever what I was talking about smoking, it was happening, and whatever I was talking about dirty plates, it was happening, and so on. The taste and my flavor is a personal opinion.
Yes.
And I would always start by, in my personal opinion, it's not good, or I don't like it, or whatever. And considering I've had 10 burgers before, this is what it is. And or in comparison with whatever, this is what it is. So accordingly, you need to prove it. So fast forward to today's influencers, again, for the word influencers, or food bloggers, having an iPhone, opening an Instagram account, going to places, and bashing.
Yes.
These people need to be arrested.
Yes.
These people need to stop. So there are laws for journalists but that there were never laws for yes. internet use.
And people like you and me who are sometimes called influencer or blogger or reviewer, it's are we a journalist? Are we a media? Your YouTube channel is media. Your account on Instagram is a media, you know? So it's a fine line, and one must know the local laws.
All of this needs maturity. So you need to understand that when you consider yourself an influencer, you need to have maturity. And the ka'u and the kwish bit.
Yes.
So you cannot say anything or anything you want. At the end, you need to focus and remember that there are businesses, families, people at stake, employees, salaries, and so on and so forth.
Yes.
A restaurant today with 20 employees and fridges and loaded with food and rent and company and etc. And you come in with your couple thousand followers and probably sometimes 100,000 followers and say, I don't like it, don't go there.
Yeah.
Your don't like it, don't go there can close a business.
Absolutely.
And let it fall probably 50 or 60% yeah. down.
With success in what we do comes big responsibility.
Yes.
So we have to really be careful of what we do. I get asked to come and have a meal in a restaurant and make a review all the time. The restaurant, what if I go there and I don't like it and I make a bad review? They're assuming that I'm gonna come and say it's good. So the restaurants themselves need to think about it also.
So you need to know if you're asking for it.
Yeah.
If you're knocking on the door, you need to hear yeah. the answer.
What do you do
with maturity? Yeah. So accordingly, what I do, I would.
What if a restaurant that you know you're not gonna like asks you to come and have a meal and post your opinion? Just won't go?
I will put photos of the table and decor, and that's it.
And you won't make any
zero.
Yeah.
I would never ever say of something it's good if it's not. I would give my opinion of something.
But I've never heard you say this is bad.
Because I think of businesses.
Yeah.
Because I think of businesses closing. Because I think of investments. Because yes. I understand food. I understand business. I understand P&L. I understand investment.
Yeah.
I understand family. And because I have a heart and a family, and I know what it is of being with no work
yes.
or closing a business and all the responsibilities it can put on you. So I won't say it's not good. I would just avoid it.
Yes.
Unless I've been touched with it. So let's say I go to a place, I pay $500. I talk with the management and say, guys, there's something wrong. And the answer is we don't care. Or mm-hmm. You feel that sense of we're good enough. So if you don't come, others will. I would definitely give my opinion.
Yes.
I would definitely give my opinion.
Yeah. So it's, but you're not going to say the food is bad if it's good. Just because
no way.
You were mistreated or that you'll talk about the actual thing that was not good.
100%.
Yeah.
So this is the subject we need to tackle.
Yeah.
What is happening on Instagram?
Yeah.
What are collaborations?
Yes.
What are the things that are happening? Should you trust all of them?
Yes.
Or not? What's happening?
There are restaurant bashing accounts in the United States. United States has a very liberal freedom of speech laws. The whole world knows that. There are accounts, I follow a couple of them. Half the time, they're bashing and destroying restaurants and everything. It's, you know, it's part entertainment, but they're not really thinking about that they can do some real damage. But I think the people who follow those accounts know that it's part entertainment.
Fun.
Yeah, part fun.
Should food bloggers, let's start by calling them food bloggers.
Yeah.
Should food bloggers get paid or not? When they are invited?
It's not a yes or no answer to that. Food blogging is a career now. It's a job. People make a living out of it. So you meaning the person who's following them or reading or going to food bloggers to get reviews or advice, you need to know, do I trust that person's taste? Maybe what you like is not what I like. Or so you find one that you share common taste, that I like his taste, this guy, or her taste. Like, know the difference between sometimes a paid review and not a paid review. I think there's nothing wrong with getting money as long as people know that this is what you do.
It's a thin line, again, based on
maturity. It's not black and white.
Exactly, it's based on maturity. One, let me agree on, yes, people need to have a living out of it. They have families, they have careers. They have chosen to take that path and not probably a 8-to-5 job.
Yes.
So accordingly, you need to understand that those people have iPhones or phones to buy, cameras to buy, editing softwares to buy, time allocation. Their body is eating all day long, so their body is aging faster. This is something we do not talk about. They have
to pay for their kids' schools, 100%. Which we talk about this morning.
They have to pay for their food, et cetera, transportation, and so on.
Yeah.
So yes, it's normal. Or they need to get ads and do order food reviews for free, or they need to get paid and get approached by restaurants who, at the end of the day, are getting the exposure enough to pay for that money and to have the advertisement.
Yes.
But yet, should you be a liar? Should you be a food connoisseur and say that you like it or not, et cetera, et cetera? So this is the thin line where you need to know who you are.
Yeah.
So get paid, but don't pretend you understand food.
Yeah.
And say, I am advertising this place, but stop at food is good or bad. Stop at their hummus is the best in town. Stop at they are the best whatever restaurant in town.
Yeah.
So some, and mostly, almost all of them, need to understand you are a promoter. It's your right to get paid.
Yes.
You are not a food connoisseur.
You're not a food expert.
And you're not a foodie.
Yeah.
So we hear words like the best out there, the finest. How many burgers have you had in your life, my friend?
Yes.
How many hummus have you had in your life? Tell me who your culture, what your culture is. Tell me where you have been educated. So accordingly, you, dear consumer, when you hear things, know who to trust and what to trust.
Yes.
And I love some accounts I follow on Instagram, of which one Kuwaiti I really enjoy, never pretends he knows about food, but he eats so much, so well. He enjoys having sandwiches so well.
Yeah.
His narrative is so enjoyable, and then stops at, you never hear the word great, I love,
this good, is the, it's best the best one in town.
Exactly.
It's so true, it's so true.
So when you get paid and you post a video, you can just talk about the place and say, I love the decor, the location is amazing, I had a great show. Or if you really enjoy it, of your liking, you can go and dig in and deepen up your description by saying, I loved it, it's well done, the balance, I felt good after it, et cetera, et cetera. So is it a book we can write? What to, the do's and don'ts of food blogging? I'm not sure yet. Is it, what do people should trust? It's a personal opinion. Every food bloggers allowed to say we're good? No. And is it normal for them to get paid? Yes.
Yes.
And we're definitely one of them.
Yes.
We have families, we have responsibilities, we have lots of things. And that part we never talked about, I never talked about, probably the first time, is people do not realize how hard it is to eat fat all day long, how hard it is to taste all the desserts all day long, how hard to have breakfast, lunch, and dinner when you do not want to eat every day. And all of these definitely is a choice. And I can eat 10 times a day and I love it. But it builds up to how much can the body handle. And usually singers or artists or actors stop at a certain age because it reaches too much. This job, so-called, is new, the food blogging industry.
Yes.
So when is it too much? When would you be obliged to stop? And would the followers would look at you and say, yeah, haram, he had too much food in his life. He's already eating.
He's having too many
medications now, and we need to stand by him and send him some donations.
Yeah, yeah. So this what we're talking about is very, the timing of it is very, very critical for me, because this is the year that I'm switching from doing this as a hobby or an obsession into a professional. I'm transitioning into going professional, and I'm still trying to figure out how to go about it. As it stands today, I turn down most requests, but I've decided to start doing it. So it's just a matter of how I'm going about doing that. I know for a fact that the reason I have a following is because that people know that I'm pretty honest. People know I have a developed palate. They trust my taste. They haven't been burned. Perhaps they've been burned once, or, you know. But when I say something is good, chances are that it's going to be pretty good. But I'm about to make that transition now. So I have a lot of thinking to do, and a lot of that's why I was asking you for advice on how to go about doing that. And it's an interesting times ahead. I think I like to look at a bigger picture. You inviting me to do this podcast, was the timing was amazing. I would rather be in this situation and find a way to make a living out of doing that than to go and do paid reviews and things like that.
How much should one charge? And this is an unanswered question.
Yeah.
Do you follow the market trend? Do you put a price for yourself and say, this is how much I want?
Yeah.
How do you know how much you're worth?
Yeah.
And this is also
very
difficult.
So I had to think about that. How much do I want to charge? You can ask others who are doing it, see how much they're charging. You can, if you're signed up with an agent, you can discuss that with them. Obviously, it's in their interest to get as much money as possible because they make a percentage of what you make. Or you can say, you know what? I know my worth. I know my people who follow me are some of the most important chefs in the world, or some of the biggest consumers or whatever, and this is what I want. It all depends on where you are in your mind on that. I don't think there's an actual, you know, 5,000 per this or 2,000 per that. Different people charge different things.
Let me probably simplify it and categorize it without having an answer to it.
Okay.
Not giving an answer, but not having an answer to it. Is one, how should you start in life? One, start by building trust. And this is very important.
Yes.
Anyone can buy followers. Anyone can say, I'm here, I exist. Anyone can say, I have good pictures. Anyone with an iPhone can do anything.
Yeah.
But you need to build up.
So I've done that. I've reached check.
So build up.
I have that.
Two, you need to inform people and let people understand and know that you know.
Yeah.
And definitely being on such a discussion or meeting great chefs or writing the lines under every single picture of understanding what's happening or describing and taking the time to describe what did you eat? Why did you eat it? Documenting your trips in a professional way so people, after building that trust, really know who you are.
And you develop a following.
Exactly. And understand that, yes, this guy understands food. He's not an eater. He's a foodie.
Yes.
And this is number two. Three, after doing it with a restaurant or two or three or four or probably 100, thousands sometimes for free, you would start hearing from your friends, the restaurant owners, was it good? Was it impactful? Did people follow you? Did people come in with a phone and say, we want this plate?
Mm-hmm.
Were they asked enough of or recommended by friends that the foodie himself came in? So this is three.
Yes.
Accordingly, you would say, this is what I feel I'm worth. I am worth 1,000 or 10 or sometimes 100. I know that if I'm asking you for the amount, I'm looking into your eyes and asking you for the amount because I deserve that amount.
Yes.
And this is, I believe, the utmost apogee, the finale of that journey, where you know you can look at someone's eyes and say, I want 10,000.
Yes.
Because I know I can give you back with 10,000. I want 100,000 because I know I can give you back with 100,000. And what I give back is not the amount of content, but it's going to be paid back.
Yes.
And all of these need maturity, need advice, need consultancy, need good surrounding, need huge investment.
Yes.
So you see, bloggers, or not only in the food industry, but probably in the fashion industry and all of them, you need to invest. You need to start by investing into your...
A lot of people don't know that to make a reel, 30-second or a minute or a minute and a half reel, costs money, especially if you're using a professional videographer and an editor. Some people do it themselves. It's your responsibility, your meaning, you, Anthony, your account, your social media channel, me, Hani, Bedouin Foodie. It's my responsibility to be a professional, to produce ultra high quality content. That's why I take photography lessons. I go to the Apple store and do their how to use the camera once every 6 months. I try to edit the best to my ability. If I'm doing a reel, I can go to a videographer. I can afford it now. But, you know, it adds up. That's why you need to make an income.
You forgot the content of the reel.
Yes.
That reel
yes.
has a burger that is 100 dirhams.
Yes.
That reel has yeah. a trip to Japan.
And in my case, I'm paying for all of this.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So the reel that people enjoy for 30 seconds or a minute,
yeah.
cost of the phone,
yeah.
editing, filming, reservation, cost of the food.
Yes.
When we put a reel that has 4 plates on the table because one plate is not enough to create a reel, this is content.
Yes.
And in a 1 minute, you cannot talk all the description and take a picture of the bill and so on and so forth. So you need to minimize it, but have enjoyable content. And all of this is content,
mm-hmm.
Is payment, is expenses. So back to, it's not a yes, not black
no.
and white. Should you get paid? It's your right.
Yes.
Who can do it? I'm not sure. Anyone with a phone can do it? I'm not sure.
Yes.
Is it that new fun job everybody wants to jump in? Guys, go get a job and get the salary. It's definitely better
yes.
and less responsibility.
It looks easy and glamorous, and it's the opposite of that. It's a lot of time, a lot of effort, and a lot of disappointment. And, you know, for every picture I post, there's another 30 that I tried, and they just didn't look good. But I want to say, as a job, it's a very important one, and people deserve to get paid. Marketing money today, A&P budget, advertising and promotion. In the old days, you used to make a beautiful advertisement and put it in a magazine, whether it's Condé Nast Traveler or that's how you used to advertise. Today, money for advertising, A&P budgets are spent on digital media. Digital media is a YouTube channel, is the TikTok, is an Instagram account, and events. The traditional advertising model is out of the window. Very few people now will take a full page ad in a magazine, and it's not there. So where there's money, there's gonna be a job. Someone has to provide this content. Someone has to provide it.
So you ask yourself, why me? You ask yourself, how can I take a part of this amount?
Yes.
You would need to ask yourself every single morning, what makes me different? What differentiates me from others?
Yes.
So it's a whole thing of lots of things,
yes.
of building content, building trust, building a knowledge, taking great quality content, making sure your content is great, and always asking yourself, why me? What makes me stand out? What makes me different? In an 8 billion people world, who shines? The 5%, the 1%? So how can I reach that point where you become different?
Yeah.
And that differentiation puts you on the international map
yeah.
and becoming famous, known, or whatsoever.
Yeah.
So the content can start at 100 dirham, go up all the way up to probably 100,000. It's, do you deserve it? Are you up to it? And can you pay back?
Yes.
So the payment back is that restaurant or entity or company needs to feel that they're taking back for their money.
Yes, they need their money's worth.
Golden question. Should bloggers, influencers, etc., whatever we want to call them, unite to unify prices? Should they unite to work together instead of fighting each other? Should they unite? And this is also the golden question. Are they friends? 99% of them do not talk with each other, even yeah. though they do not know each other.
Yeah.
And they fight to grab clients here and there yeah. and dropping down the prices. What's next? What do you think?
Yeah. And everybody who does what we do wants to be the first to discover this. I discovered that place, the first to post this viral burger, things like that. So there is that aspect also to it.
How many restaurants do you think Dubai has? Restaurants, not delivery kitchens.
I know we have more per capita here than New York does. And that's just crazy because Dubai is not a walking city. In New York, you can have them on every block and every corner. I've heard numbers in the tens of thousands.
Dubai has 24,000 food establishment yeah. or food licensed, of which food delivery, food
yeah.
company, etc. Of which 12,000 big restaurants.
Yeah.
Talabat has 18,000 cloud kitchen and restaurants on the application.
Imagine.
So imagine that opening an application and saying, now I'm going to order food.
Yeah.
It's not the few dozen around you. You can scroll all in your region between 2,000 to 3,000 in your region.
Yeah.
Considering the UAE has 18,000. So imagine the numbers.
So these restaurants, they need to find a way to stand out and to reach the customer. And they do it through bloggers, through influencers. Let's say my restaurant is, I want to reach masses. Then I know who to go to. If you want to reach high-end diner or the sophisticated customer or something. You know, there's a different person to do for that. So you that's how you can pick who to choose. It took me 8 years to reach 31,000 followers. But you know what? I know I have very high quality followers. I'm not the right person to go to if you want to open a burger place or a hot dog place and you want to attract tens of thousands of people and cause hysteria and a viral and this. I'm not the right person. You'll be wasting your time and money coming to me.
Definitely. So you need to identify yourself, where you are, and
yes.
Who are your clients.
Your niche. Find your niche. Find your niche.
And then comes social media channels. Where should one advertise?
Yeah.
Is your content good for TikTok? Is your content good for Instagram? Should be on Twitter, tweeting every day? Are you a YouTube person or not? And this is the golden question. Because people come in and say, I have a phone. I'm starting to spread on TikTok. Is TikTok for your age?
Yep.
Can you play the TikTok game?
Yes.
Or I'm going to do reels on Instagram. It's easy. It takes 5 minutes. Let me do that. Can you reach Instagram? Is Instagram today a photo platform for photographers? Is it a video platform? Is it a shopping platform?
Yeah. It's a combination of everything. I have a question for you. Let's say you're a restaurant. You know, I can have my own account, Restaurant X. I can post a picture of my favorite dish, and then I can sponsor ad it. You pay, and it's you say, I want it to be shown to, and you can target it. People of this age, people who have these interests, who live in this neighborhood, should you spend your money that way? Or should you spend your money on an influencer?
$1,000 on Instagram will definitely get you followers and would get you usually 1,000
That's you
followers.
Sponsored ad?
Sponsored ad.
Yeah.
But at the end, it's advertised, sponsored.
It says sponsored.
And anyone can do it.
Yes.
So you think of it this way, with $1,000 you have, any restaurant can spend $1,000.
Yeah.
And if 100 restaurants spend $1,000 together, we're going to have on our social media 100 restaurants being advertised at the same time and taking our effort and energy where Instagram would need to stop and show some of the content for you and others because you cannot see 100 ads together.
Yes. And all about the same thing.
Yes. But you cannot get 100 followers, digital creators or foodies. You can get one.
Mm-hmm.
People would definitely know that this guy had been paid. It's okay. It wouldn't show as sponsored, but we invited him or paid for him, whatever. And he'll take the time to advertise you and talk to you and talk with his community. The community will talk with their community and et cetera, et cetera. And instead of having 100 advertisement or 100 competition or competing with 100, you would have that one that
yep.
you chose and asked him to come to you. You can ask him to be the one and only. You can ask him to be not to go to a competition restaurant for the next 2-3 weeks or months or whatever. Lots of things can be talked with or around.
Yeah.
You can put him as a brand ambassador for a different price, definitely, but with a different reach. So internally, on a marketing level, and this is another subject of its own, restaurants need way more than only a social media influencer
yep.
or a social media manager. Social media manager would take $500 to just post on Instagram.
Yes.
Are there marketeers? No.
And a lot of time, they don't even reply to the messages.
Exactly. Are there marketeers? No. Do they know how to build up a brand? No. Are there business consultants? No. Yeah. Are there marketing consultants? No. So what you need internally to sit with your investors or partners and get a consultant from the outside, a marketing consultant, and take the appropriate decisions for your brand. Should we pay $1,000 for Instagram to boost? Or that $1,000 we can spread on 10 invitations because mm-hmm. it's marketing budget at the end.
Yes.
Or we should pay $5,000 for one influencer that will get us a different quality of crowd and have different content with the longer content. So all of these questions are unanswered. And yes, in a competition market when there are 24,000 food establishments, I'm sure only 5% of them have the right consultancy and support mm-hmm. and advisory. And the rest is just spreading money all around. Many spread money today on being on the page one on advertise on the delivery platforms.
Mm.
But again, there are 18,000 others that can do the same. So if you have 100, others have 500. If you have a coffee shop and you have $500 to spend, that green logo coffee shop can put 5,000. And definitely...
there are some you can't fight.
Cannot fight.
They're too big.
So yes, so what makes you stand out as a brand? What makes the digital creator or foodie stand yeah. out, and does he connect with your brand?
Yes.
How can you spend your money? What is the best way of you spending your money?
Yes.
And today we receive calls, or companies have the culture of, do you know any social media person to handle my account?
Yeah.
Anyone can handle your account. My little daughter, my kid can handle the account. Posting pictures and replying with a copy-paste message, which I receive every single day, and I hate it. I posted about a brand that has three different brands, one in Lebanon, one in Dubai, one for Manaish, whatever. So different kinds of brands, but under one management. And I received that same message again and again and again and again and again. So that guy copy-pasting didn't even know or feel that it's the same person reading it. You need advisory and support for you to grow.
Yep.
And that advisory, if done well, will choose if a foodie is a foodie, if an influencer is an influencer, and if it is worth it to pay money for it.
And if I may, a recommendation, I think, as a business owner or a restaurant owner or a brand owner, ask yourself, is this person, this influencer, a good representation for me who can represent my account? Do I want my products or my restaurant or my business to be associated with that person? Are they the right ambassador for me? Not everybody is the right ambassador.
Last but not least, when you invite someone, sometimes you're done, you cannot invite others. So if you invite a certain category of foodies, you cannot go up. Mm. I would definitely do not go to a brand that has invited someone that is, in my opinion, cheap or low category, etc., and coming after him. So make sure who you start with.
Yes.
And most importantly, and it's been happening a lot, never invite three at the same time. Never post content with
this
three
is
or
a big,
four.
Big Dubai thing. You go to dinner, there's the influencer table. The table, you see, and everybody's got the flashlight and everything. Listen, I've been to them. I go to them. I get invited sometimes, I'll go. But you're right, because for events, it's okay, but not just for a random dinner.
Yeah.
The next day, everybody's got the exact same content in their stories and on their posts.
Yeah, and the other thing is sometimes not inviting them together and paying for this one and paying for this one and paying for this one, and they pop up, that content pops up in front of you on Instagram a week later, where it's the same content, and you'll know this liar is saying it's the best in town, which I was there, it was not.
Yeah.
And that second thing does not understand the thing about food and the content is bad. And you end up not understanding why the hell did he got paid. And the third one has a classier approach and a longer video and different music, but probably got less views. So the first one gets more views because he did the clown show. Okay, who's it?
Yeah.
How did the brand look like in front of people, in front of just scrollers? So it's very important on that.
You know what Leonardo DiCaprio does? He limits the number of places he'll go to and invitations he'll take. He gets invited to, you know, fundraising things and all these events and stuff. He'll say no to most of them. He's very selective. So that when he's there, that event or that job he did or whatever gets so much more out of his presence there.
In Food Unscripted, the frustration starts when 38 minutes are reached and we need to stop.
Oh, no way, again?
So we have more things to say, and I would love to say more things. And this is a very important subject where things can be said and others not. People are gonna like it or others not. Is it politically correct or not? How are things being interpreted or not? And every single one of you would definitely have a different say and a different approach to it and a different interpretation to it.
Write your comments below.
Definitely.
Do you answer all the comments? Do you answer all the messages you get on Instagram?
Yeah.
I try to answer as many as possible.
Send us your comments. Please do not forget to follow definitely the Bedouin Foodie and No Garlic, No Onions. And we'll see you in an amazing other episode of Food Unscripted.